The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? You would not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's gospel reading from Luke is not a nice, tidy story. Instead, the words you just heard are captured under the subheading that reads, "Some Sayings of Jesus." You know what Jesus sometimes was known for saying, or inside joke that we're kind of allowed to overhear this morning. So we have two sets of words that may or may not have been said in relation to one another. And Jesus maybe said them once or twice, or maybe said them so many times that the disciples knew to roll their eyes because Jesus was going to say one of those sayings again. First, and seemingly out of nowhere, the disciples yell to Jesus, "Increase our faith." It is a plea and prayer that has been prayed countless times over the centuries by people of faith just like those disciples. People who are afraid, or jealous, restless, people who hope for something more for their lives. With Jesus standing right there in front of them, they went to the source of the hope in their lives and asked for the prayer that we've all prayed, I'm sure, "Increase our faith." The battle cry of the fearful. It is no wonder that the disciples are begging for more faith. They've seen miraculous healings happen as a result of faith. There was the woman who threw herself at Jesus' feet, covered his feet with her tears, and Jesus answered her humility and said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And then there was a woman who pushed her way through the crowd just so she could touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I imagine the disciples, the ones in Jesus' most inner circle, were experiencing some frustration and envy as they watched people run up to their rabbi and receive life-altering or life-saving healings, and then the affirmation that it was their faith that had made them well. So after seeing all that, the demand for more faith seems like a reasonable request from these men who have been at Jesus' side. Yet we know their cry is born out of insecurity and fear for the future. Quite a few years ago, when my daughter was pretty young, we were on the precipice of yet another move, which we've had plenty, and I was feeling very fearful of our future. And so I tossed out a question in the middle of the air, somewhat out of nowhere, to my daughter playing in the next room, "Michaela, where should we live next year?" And without missing a beat, like she was waiting to be asked, she said, "Underwater." The disciples were feeling just as fearful, and they yell out to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And with a similar helpfulness of my little one, he yells back, "Mustard seeds." And these nonsensical conversations might be as logical as we can get when we're talking about our faith. If we have faith, can we really get more? If we have faith, can we lose it? If we have faith, how do we know we have enough faith? Can we measure it or contain it or label it or wield it to our will? If you know mustard seeds, you know they are teeny tiny little seeds with the potential of growing into brilliant, bold, and somewhat obnoxious plants. Jesus says if the disciples have faith the size of a mustard seed, they could uproot a mulberry bush. And in other gospel accounts, it's entire mountains that can be moved with faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus does not say, if only you had faith the size of a mustard seed, as if to point out the inadequacy of the disciples. I think that's how we usually hear it. But I think Jesus is saying, you have faith the size of a mustard seed. It's teeny tiny, but it's enough already. You are equipped already. The demand of increase our faith is redundant to the life of a disciple, as they have been given faith to uproot mulberry bushes and move mountains. But Jesus didn't call the disciples, or I think any of us, to a life of supernatural landscaping. We're called to another purpose, following Jesus, for reasons that are so much more powerful and transformative than using a force of faith to move pieces of nature like magic tricks. And that purpose leads us to Jesus' second saying this morning. It's a harsh little scene telling between the dynamics between a master and a slave. Jesus points out that if the slave enters the house, he should first serve the master before eating and drinking himself, and certainly don't expect a word of gratitude. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and say, so you also, when you have done what you ought, should consider yourself a worthless slave. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? Or what if we change the dismissal at the end of the worship service and I say, go in peace, serve the Lord, and you dutifully respond, we are worthless slaves. But I think this term is leading us to think about what we are called to do more than who we are. Uprooting vegetation may not be the work which ushers in the kingdom of God in our lives or in the lives of our neighbors, but living and giving and thinking like a worthless slave might get us closer to understanding our place in the world and even our place at the table of mercy. I want to step into the biblical language for just a moment. The Greek word used for servant or slave is doulos, which in our English word maybe already sounds familiar. The word doula derives from. If you're unsure of what a doula is, I'm sure most of our children are, they are the women, often women, who sit next to laboring women who are preparing to give birth. The clinical definition is a trained and experienced professional who provides continuous physical, emotional, and informational support to a mother before, during, and just after birth. I think the more realistic definition of a doula is one who willingly approaches pain, sits in the blood, the stink and the stains, who hears screams and labor pains, the one who urges for pushing and discomfort for the sake of new life being born in this world. The life of a doula, the life of a slave that Jesus talks about, and the life of a Christian is a life meant to serve a purpose completely outside of our own interests, the purpose of life. Now, maybe this sounds like the ticket to martyrdom, and it could be, but it also sounds like the ticket to freedom from fear and faith in God. What does it look like to be a worthless slave, serving a profoundly worthy purpose? Perhaps it looks like sitting together on a Sunday morning, singing holy songs and hearing God's word and feasting at the table together as a family of faith. Perhaps it looks like being a caring citizen engaged in a political process by being informed and open and humble to build unity in a divisive country. Perhaps it looks like sitting with someone who is in pain and suffering. It looks like bringing comfort and light and welcoming in new life for those who are laboring in the myriad of ways that we labor in this life. I do not believe it looks like uprooting mulberry bushes, although Jesus says we can do it. Through Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are given the free, substantial gift of faith. And it is enough to do what has been asked of us as beloved and called worthless servants, serving at the will of an all-loving, ever-giving God. Do not be afraid to do what God is asking of you. For as Jesus healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, and Jesus raised the dead and broke open systems of oppression, so with us too are we called to usher in new life as a doula, as a servant. People of God, do know that wherever you find yourself today, struggling with your teeny tiny mustard seed sized faith, or ready to humble yourself as a servant to another, or if all of it is too heavy and painful today, know that we are already loved and redeemed by a Savior who was the doula to our world. Jesus walked the path of suffering and sacrifice and draws particularly close to those who labor and suffer in this world. The one who labored and suffered and died in divine love will bring us to everlasting grace in God. We may not be able to measure our faith or contain it or label it or wield it to our will, but we are brought into God's will by the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. What an incredible gift we carry. And so we say thanks be to God. Amen.